to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 19 through 15. This word dropped in my spirit like lightning again. I'm telling you, that's why I say on Facebook, and so I say this is a right now word. I know it. So this is going to be good today. I'm glad you're here. I see some new faces, so welcome. The Holy Ghost was speaking today. And the one lady that came up, I don't even know her. If I ever met you, forgive me. I mean, my memory can be bad, but I don't think ever. But what I'm saying is, she didn't know what I'm preaching today. Amen. But the Holy Ghost did, because the Holy Ghost gave it to me, right? Here we go. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Here it is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, go back to Romans 16, 16. Just one verse. And it says this, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, that's not the point I want to point out, okay? This is the point I want to pull up. The churches of Christ greet you. Now, today I want to talk about, are you ready? Local churches. I want to talk about the local church. Specifically, I want to talk about the benefits of committing to a local church. Oh, some of you are like, I lost some of you right now, right? I know it. I know I did. But no, I'm going to bring up some points that maybe you have never thought about before in connection to this. Now, here's the deal. Hours in a year. How many hours are in a year? 8,760 hours in a year. How many hours are we awake? Well, if you sleep 8 hours, unlike me, I don't sleep 8, probably closer to 6, right? But if you sleep 8 hours, the hours you're awake is 5,840 hours, all right? Hours in church. If you have a 2-hour service once a week, you're in church 104 hours. Out of that, 5,840, all right? How many hours does a pastor have to try to shift your perspective, to try to put you in a spiritual mindset? Well, if he goes an hour, 52 hours out of that 5,840 hours that you're awake. And sometimes I don't even go that long, so it might be a little, maybe closer to 50, I don't know. But listen to this. Local churches are losing popularity among Christians. Over the years, you will see a very steep decline in church attendance, and especially in these last days, all right? Now, the kingdom of darkness and the flesh are behind that push, because here's what you need to know. Local churches was not an idea of man. It's an idea from God himself. Now, here's the deal. Local churches are made up of gathering group of Christians. You agree with that? Did you notice in Romans 16, 16, it says the churches of Christ greet you. The churches. There was more than one. It's talking about the local fellowships or groups, different groups of Christians. All right? Galatians 1, 2 says this. It refers to churches in Galatia, in one city. So it's saying in one city, Galatia, there's many different groups of believers. Are you picking this up? So there is one body of Christ, but there's many local congregations or gatherings, or we like to call them local churches. You get it? So the church, here's the deal. So the church is made up of people. When I talk about the local church, I'm not even talking about a building, okay? I'm just talking about, now, it's not a building. The local church is not a building. But listen to me, because some people get all caught up and twisted up in this mess, right? Oh, the building. Oh, that's a local church. That's a building. Oh, we don't go there, all right? That's religious. No, 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 no. This was God's idea. Christians need somewhere to gather. All right? And most of the time, it's in some kind of a building, a house, or wherever else, or the Hope Barn, right? All right? Now, but a local church isn't even corporation papers from the state. Hello? Anybody can go and incorporate, right? Now, when we get down to the central ingredient of the local church, it's the assembling of Christians. We make up a local church. We're just gathering right here on Hooper Street in this particular building on this property. Amen? So, if there are no people present, if there is no assembly together, there's no church going on. Now, you got to follow me here because I'm trying to build something up, all right? I'm trying to lay the foundation here. So I want to talk about points that the Holy Spirit gave me to share with you that prove to you that belonging to a local church, committing to a local church, is beneficial and it's not a waste of your time. Wouldn't that be good to know? It's, hey, listen, it's not a waste of your precious 104 hours. Excuse me for taking up 104 of your 5,800 hours that you're awake on this earth. See, sometimes you got to break it down to with people, right? Because now people who had a problem with church and going once a week, now they're like, wow, I do feel pretty dumb right now, right? I mean, what am I complaining about? Now listen, so maybe you have never really considered or thought about some of these points I'm going to talk about. Today, the first thing that you need to know is that what makes the local church? What really makes a legitimate local church? The first thing you need to know is that every local church has a leader. Yes. But here's the catch. Are you ready for this? It needs to be a God-ordained leader. Amen. Amen. Jim Jones started a church. David Koresh started a church. Are you getting it? It needs to be a God-ordained leader. Anybody can start a local assembly or church, but are they called of God to be a leader of that assembly? All right? So we call a leader of a church a pastor. The Word of God also refers to it as a bishop or an overseer. All right? And then it talks about elders and deacons. Now, there's some scriptures that talk about pastor and refers to him as an elder. All right, so there's a little thing, but I'm not going to talk about, you know, the deacon and elder and all that, but I did want to point that out for that. But along with being the pastor, that leader, listen to this, that leader may also operate as an apostle, prophet, or teacher. Okay, it might be a pastor, prophet, pastor, apostle. Are you getting it? Okay, now, some of you just said, wait a minute, you left out evangelist. There's a very good reason why. An evangelist is a separate calling, I believe, from a pastor, because those two really don't mix. All right, an evangelist is on the move all the time and primarily dealing with the unsaved. All right, a Christian minister that has the ministry gift of an evangelist will not function well. Listen to me. Will not function well in the office of a pastor. He just won't. I've seen it so many times since I've been born again, all right? The only way that would be able to happen is if God shifts that ministry calling on that evangelist and gives them a heart as a pastor. Because they're always on the go. Here's why. Let me give you a little bit deeper reason why, all right? The role of an evangelist is primarily to preach the simple message of the gospel to the lost. They are preaching the milk of the word. They're trying to get people saved, right? Their mission is not to make disciples, but to get people born again. That's why I don't include them in the pastor evangelist list, or connection. You getting it? When an evangelist tries to fit into the role of a pastor, they end up only, here's what happens, I've seen it so many times. They end up only preaching milk to the people and not meat, and people leave saying, I didn't really get out of it. It's like the pastor was evangelizing to me the whole time. Why? Because they're an evangelist. Right? I mean, this isn't too deep, people, right? So a lot of times congregations suffer from spiritual, I like to say, malnutrition, because there's no spiritual growth, okay? And you can kind of sense that, all right, if someone is an evangelist and they're, you know. So that person is always evangelizing the congregation instead of making disciples. So just know, a true local church must have a God-ordained pastor leading it and feeding the people. Are you getting it? Not self-appointed, like David Koresh, Jim Jones. Are you? But God appointed. And you will notice a difference. If you go to a church and you're there for any amount of time, you'll start to notice, well, does this person really have a heart to lead and feed the sheep, right? Amen. All right, so listen to this. If someone is not called to be a pastor and is trying to be a pastor, it will end in disaster. I'm going to give you a real easy rhyme to remember. Let's say it again, boys and girls. If someone is not called to be a pastor and is trying to be a pastor, it will end in disaster. Amen. All right? So there must be the characteristics or fruit that points to that person has a call of God on their life. Okay, go with me to 1 Timothy. I'm talking a lot about this because, I mean, there's a lot of churches out there that are you get it? I'm not here to bash churches, but the Holy Ghost said, you tell them it's got to be God-ordained leadership. Exactly. Or it's going to end in disaster. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, it says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable. Right, it's like that pastor who says, I don't like people. That's like a shepherd saying, I don't like sheep. Well, what are you doing here? What are you doing being a shepherd then? The people are going to die. They're going to be led astray, right? One church actually had a pastor, and the pastor said, I don't like people. They hired him anyways. Hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into the reproach and snare of the devil. Now, so I want you to notice, it says, if a man desires the office of a bishop, okay, we're talking about leading people, being an overseer, being a pastor, there must be a sincere desire in them to lead and feed the people of God. And that motive, as you could see, must be pure. You getting it? Some start churches, here's why I say this, because some start churches or try to pastor because they don't want to submit to anybody and be accountable to anyone. So they say, well, I'll just start my own church. You getting it? And it ends in disaster eventually. Some start churches because they want a steady paycheck because they're not making enough on the road traveling. And then they become a hireling instead of a true pastor. All right? A pastor cannot have greed mixed in with their calling. You can't do it. Amen? Because eventually it's going to corrupt you. It's going to corrupt that leader. It's going to take them down the wrong path. There must be pure motives. So the Word of God is very clear that your desire and motive to lead a local church or the people of God must be pure. Now, so I can spot out pastors that aren't in it with the right motives a million miles away. That's why you need to pray and seek God where he wants you to be. Amen? John Bevere, we're watching the Bait of Satan video series on Wednesday nights and then talking about it after. He made a statement this last week. He said, we don't get to choose where we go to church. God does. We don't choose. God does. He determines where we're going to be, right? Why? Because he knows where you're going to fit in perfectly. He knows exactly, right? See, we might look at a church and kind of be fleshly about it, right? But God says, no, you need to be right over there. Because that's going to fit more into your calling. That's where you're going to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Listen, the Greek word translate. You enjoying this today? Okay, good. Listen, the Greek word translated bishop in this passage means this, a supervisor, an overseer. It literally means this, pastoral oversight, okay? Now, a pastor is defined as a minister in charge of a congregation. And a congregation is made up of people, amen? So a pastor is looking out for your spiritual growth and well-being. You agree with that? Or at least he should be, right? To be able to do that, listen to me, to be able to do that effectively as a pastor, the members of the church need to be able to allow the pastor, ready for this? Access into their life. There needs to be a heart that's open to allowing the pastor to pastor. If you're not open to it, then I'm not pastoring you. You getting it? All right, so, or not just me. Listen, that sounds a little self-serving. Okay. Some other pastor. There, is that better? But there needs to be an openness. There needs to be an open heart for a leader, because that's what we're called to do, to lead and feed, right? And I'm going to get more into that in a minute. But listen to this. I want you to notice in 1 Timothy 3:6 that a bishop, overseer, a pastor cannot be a novice. Say novice. Lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Now listen, a novice is defined as this. Are you ready? A person new to or inexperienced in a field or situation. A person new to or inexperienced in the field or situation. Now, the Holy Spirit said this, because I said, Holy Ghost, You know, every pastor has their first pastor position. So there's going to be someone who goes in who's never pastored before, right? Here's the deal. This is what the Holy Ghost said to me. He said a novice, meaning a novice with spiritual things or spiritual immaturity. That's what he said. Because there's always going to be, if someone here wants to be a pastor and you're going to get a position, that's going to be your first time pastoring, right? So listen to this. So it's spiritual immaturity, not a lack of pastoral experience, okay? So I found that interesting. See, the Holy Ghost will show you some things when you're seeking answers. Amen? If there is a spiritual immature person in a pastor position, here's the temptation. The temptation will always be this, that they will be puffed, that they will be puffed up with pride. Say pride. In other words, that person will start to take credit for what God's trying to do, and it will lead to rebellion from God eventually. Amen? I can honestly say that my heart, it takes no glory from God in anything. My heart knows that I need the Holy Ghost in every area of my life, every area of this ministry, every area of this church. Amen? Now, I know I'm in a very public, pastors, leaders, you're in a very public visible role as a pastor. And I'm okay with that because God equips, he places you in there and to do the job, right? But I can honestly say this, that at this point in my life, now maybe earlier in my walk with God, I couldn't have said this, but I can say it now. I don't crave or need the spotlight. Nope. In fact, I have turned down invitations for people who wanted to interview me, and I've put off things because the Holy Ghost just said, don't do it. But if I wanted to crave the attention, I would have jumped right after it. And probably in my younger years, I would have done it. Not now. Not now. All right? So if I notice a Christian that's craving or desiring to be driven by the spotlight, I cringe. Because that the wrong motives will eventually lead to disaster if it's not put in check. Amen? You got to really check it. Okay, so I'm off that part. Now let's get in. What's the benefits? I had to lay that foundation about the leadership. Amen? One of the greatest and most underrated benefits of a local church is this, accountability. Amen. All right? Now, accountable is defined as this, required or expected to justify actions or decisions. All right? Required or expected to justify actions or decisions. You know where you have the same thing? At a workplace. Why are people so offended by it in a local church? How much more should you be more open to accountability in the body of Christ? Amen? No, listen to this. So many Christians don't want to be accountable for their actions or decisions, but the Holy Ghost said this, tell the people it's a safety net. It's a safety net. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We all need to be accountable to someone. Amen? Now look at this. Acts 2, 41 through 47. It says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, underlined it, and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. And sold their possessions, don't worry, I'm not going to make you do that, and goods, and divided them among all. Heaven forbid I do that, right? As anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Christians, we love to eat, don't we? Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Here, listen to this. So the people continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines or teachings and in fellowship. Amen? Here's what I want to break down for you. You've got to understand this now. This is a deeper word than what most people think. The Greek word translated fellowship is koinonia. Say koinonia. It means this, a unity or being connected together intimately. In unity or being connected together intimately. The people were accountable to each other. Amen? There was such a love. There was such an intimacy. And here's the other one I want to just throw in there for good measure. You ready? There was a vulnerability among them. There was a trust, a vulnerability among them. That if someone had a need, it was met. So if there was a need, it means people were comfortable enough to say, I have a need. There needs to be that kind of comfort level among us in a church. If there's something you're struggling with, you have a need, you're in lack, you need to come and tell someone, amen? So they continued daily with one accord. Listen, they continued in daily, say daily. With one accord, I'm only asking 104 hours of your life in a year. That's all I'm asking for. Listen, they continued daily with one accord, unity. Listen to this. Are you ready for this? In the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Did you catch it? There was two. The temple, they didn't forsake gathering in the temple, and they went house to house. Now listen to this. So I want you to notice that the fellowship in their houses, are you ready? This is what the Holy Ghost, this never jumped out to me before until I started, the Holy Ghost gave me this and I started writing this message. I want you to notice that the fellowship in their houses did not replace the corporate gatherings in the temple. Did you get it? Or what we would call the local church. That's what we would call the temple, right? They opened up their houses to each other. They went beyond just a relationship in the temple. Are you getting it? Now, So these people put their whole heart into their relationship with each other. Their whole heart. So that kind of accountability from a pastor or from another brother and sister in the Lord. Listen to this. This is what the Holy Ghost said. Are you ready for this? If you didn't like accountability before, maybe this will be the hammer that hits you in the head with this. Are you ready? That kind of accountability from a pastor or from another brother or sister in the Lord might save your marriage. It might save your family. It might save your career. It might save even your life one day. And it might even keep you from backsliding and going into the lake of fire for eternity one day. Now tell me, what is wrong with us being accountable to each other? Amen. It's a safety net. Amen? Amen? Many Christians are so full of pride that they say, well, God's going to have to tell me that. And many times he is, through your pastor and through other brothers and sisters in the Lord. But here's what you're not doing. You're not hearing the voice within a voice. You're not hearing his voice within the voice. Are you getting it? So here's the deal. Don't ever shut yourself out from godly accountability and godly wisdom that's being offered to you from a pastor or from a church family. Amen? Because we all need to look out for each other. We all need to look out for each other. None of us is above accountability. Amen? Next point. Oh, I like this one. Another benefit of the local church, coming into a local church, is that you are placing yourself, listen to me, within a Holy Spirit-filled and faith-filled environment with the operations of the gifts of the Spirit. Yes. Now, this should create an excitement and an expectation to gather every time we gather. There needs to be an expectation. There needs to be an excitement. Don't wake up on Sundays and say, oh, I gotta go to church again. No, say, I wonder what the Holy Ghost is gonna say. I wonder what the Holy Ghost is gonna do. Amen? This is a huge advantage that many Christians don't even think about. There's something very special. Listen to me. And I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor, okay? There is something very special about gathering in a corporate anointing. Oh, come on now. Especially, listen to me, especially when everyone is desiring the move of the Holy Spirit with one heart and one mind. Brother, sister, that's an explosion waiting to happen. Whatever you dealt with in the week, you expect the Holy Ghost is going to give you answers when you come and gather together in this place. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. Listen to this. Very sobering. There are some things you will not receive unless you position yourself within a corporate anointing. There are some things, if you refuse the corporate anointing and coming and being a part committing to some local church, I'm not just talking about Living Waters, all right? We're just one in a lot of them around the world, right? But listen, you need to understand that the Holy Ghost is in this place. He told, in fact, some of you came here today, like that word was spoken. Some of you came here today because it's a divine appointment for you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wanted you to hear this. He wanted you to hear the prophetic words that were spoken. Amen? So there are some things you will not receive unless you position yourself within a corporate anointing. Remember, they gathered in the temple and they gathered from house to house. Amen? So on Wednesday night, listen to this, to drive this point home a little bit more. On Wednesday night after praise and worship, before we showed the John Bevere video, we all kind of got into a time of prayer and stir up the atmosphere a bit, right? Well, I had a couple of words of knowledge during that time. And at the end, someone came up to me and said, man, the word of knowledge that you had, I just dealt with that thing a couple days ago. A couple days ago, that this individual, one thing was about tormenting dreams. And so that person came up and said that. I didn't know that, but the Holy Ghost did. That's my point, that when you come into a gathering like this, the corporate anointing, whatever you've been dealing with, you come in and say, Holy Spirit, I need to be ministered to today. Yes. Are you following me? And that's the power of allowing the gifts of the Spirit to flow. Remember, there's some things that you will not receive unless you position yourself in a local congregation. All right? Now, are y'all awake out there? Listen to this. Many times in the messages that a pastor preaches and teaches is really the Holy Spirit preparing the people for not just current situations that they're facing, listen to me, but for situations you're going to face in the future.
Yes,
that's why you need to stay awake during my sermons. Because someone's saying, oh, he's preaching on that. I'm not dealing with that right now. Yeah, but you might be, and the Holy Ghost is trying to prepare you for when that train comes. Are you following me? So that you got to pay attention to the, listen, not just my sermons. You got to pay attention to the prophetic words spoken too. Listen, it's not all about the pastor, right? Come on, somebody, amen? The pastor's just kind of the orchestrator, right? He's just kind of the one, you know, kind of making sure the flow is starting to move, amen? And how things go, but we all need each other, all right? So that's why it's important to pay attention to the sermons and to prophetic words. There is a meme going around Facebook, all right? Yeah, I'm a Facebook junkie, but listen to this. And this one really spoke to me, especially as I was preparing this message. It says this, you never know which church service will profoundly touch your life, but it won't be the one that you missed. You never know what the Holy Ghost is going to do in your life, but it sure ain't going to be the one that you stayed home for. Are you getting it? I thought that was powerful. So every time we gather, there should be an excitement. There should be an expectation that you will have a life-changing encounter. And whatever you've been struggling with is going to shift in this Holy Spirit-filled, faith-filled environment. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's talk a little bit about the gifts of the Spirit and the importance of that. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12. Four through 11, I want to take a look at here. I'm talking about the benefits of belonging to a local church, all right? There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings, notice plural, gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues. The word, don't get thrown off by the word tongues, it just means languages. To another, the interpretation of tongues or languages you don't know. It's all supernatural gifts. This isn't not using your brain, okay? I'm not talking about someone gets up here and speaks in French and someone who knows French interprets it in English. Someone gets the humor in that. These are all supernatural gifts of the Spirit, amen? But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as the Holy Ghost wills. Now, verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, what? For the profit of that person given it? It says for the profit of all. Not for that person given it, it's for the profit of all those who will hear it and be touched by it. Are you getting it? Now, so there are two important facts here we got to pull out. First, when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, the purpose is to benefit those that are in the service, in the corporate anointing. You agree with that? Yeah. Secondly, there is profit for you, the believer, to be in the church that allows the gifts of the Spirit to operate in the services. Here's what I want to say. If you're not in a local church where the gifts of the Spirit are given place, you are missing out. This is what the Holy Ghost says now. This is what the Word says. You are missing out on a blessing and spiritual profit in your life. Did you catch that?
Yes.
It profits you. Now, here's what the word profit means. Are you ready for this? It means getting more than you put into it. Getting more than you put into it. So when you make the effort to get out of bed, put your lipstick on. I'm talking to the women. It's sad we got to say that in this day and age, right? When you do the simple part of rolling out of bed, getting ready, and coming on in here, and the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, you're going to receive more than the effort you put into even coming into this place. Did you get that? I don't know how I can make it any clearer. The Holy Spirit will move and bless the people in a local church to the proportion. Are you ready? To the proportion that the leader and the people are willing to be used by the Holy Ghost. When you hold back on the use of your gifting, you are holding back profit from the other people in that congregation. That's a pretty heavy charge, isn't it? Listen to this. Spiritual gifts operate through people. Someone says, well, the Holy Ghost will get his point across if you want. Well, the Holy Ghost works through people. You must be obedient to flow with the Holy Spirit for the people to profit and to be blessed by it. Amen? So the gifts of the Spirit, there's 9 gifts of the Spirit here that 1 Corinthians 12 talked about. I'm not going to break them all down. I just want to say this to make it real simple. 3 spiritual gifts say something. The gift of prophecy, gift of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. 3 spiritual gifts know something. They know something, right? There's a discerning of spirits, the word of knowledge, and the word of wisdom. 3 spiritual gifts do something. The gift of faith, gifts of healings, and the gift of the working of miracles. Don't you love how the Holy Ghost just breaks things down? Those 9 things the Holy Spirit wants to manifest in our setting. Amen? Amen? And we got a powerful word that miracles are going to start to happen, so I'm holding on to that too, amen? But those 9 gifts of the Spirit, or they're also called they're literally called the manifestations of the Spirit, okay? Those 9 gifts of the Spirit are meant to profit and bless a gathered body of believers, and all the glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ because of it. Are you getting it? Amen. Not to us, all right? Here's what he said. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Are you ready for this, what he just told me? All glory goes to Jesus. The only credit that goes to you is that you yielded to allow it to come through you. Amen. That's the only thing you can get credit for. Are you getting it?
Yes.
All right, so if someone says, hey, thanks for flowing in the gifts, you know, don't do this false humility thing. Oh, well, it wasn't me. Well, it was a little of both. Are you getting it? All right, just say thanks and move on with life. How about that? We do that. Do we do that? I hate when people just, they try to sit there and say, oh, it wasn't me. They try to shame you for saying it. Just calm down. Just say thanks. Move on. And then say, it's all to you, Jesus. Right? You getting it? Right? We don't have to be super spiritual, right? Are you getting it? So the Holy Spirit distributes to each Holy Spirit baptized Christian as he wills, not as we will. But there is a part that we play in receiving the gifts of the Spirit, and it's found in 1 Corinthians 14:1. The 2 things that we're called to do to be able to flow is this: pursue love and desire spiritual gifts.
Amen.
You need to pursue love and desire them. Now, here's what the Holy Ghost said. You need both of those things in actions if you want to flow in the gifts. You can walk in love all day long, and you have no desire for the gifts, they're not going to operate through you. Are you getting it? You can desire spiritual gifts, but you're being a jerk to people. The Holy Ghost says, nah, no thanks. I'm going to operate through Susie Q's walking in love. You get it? And then it says that you may desire to prophesy. It throws that little nugget in there. You know what the word prophesy means? It means to speak under the unction and in inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That was so important to desire, the Holy Ghost threw that in there. Why? Because the Holy Ghost knows if we're going to speak under the flesh, we're going to do damage. So he says, you know what? Here's what you need to do. Desire that you're going to prophesy. Desire that the words that you speak to someone are going to be led by the Holy Ghost and it will bless them. Now, pursue means this, to follow someone, okay? To follow someone or something in order to catch it or them. You're following someone. And it means to continue or proceed along a path or a route, okay? As long as you're pursuing after, as long as you're following after and staying on the path of love, meaning that you have pure motives, that's what love comes down to, that you have pure motives, right? You can do the right thing, but with the wrong motives, and you just forfeited your blessing. Oh, you didn't hear me. You can do the right thing with the wrong motives, and you just forfeited your blessing. All right? The moment you stop pursuing love or have the wrong motives, you have, this is what the Holy Ghost told me. He said, at that point, you have stepped off of the narrow road, and you have opened the door. Are you ready for this? Get ready for this bombshell. You open the door to witchcraft and control in your life. I guarantee you none of you thought about that. I didn't either until the Holy Ghost showed me this, which is the opposite of being led by the Holy Spirit. So that's when spiritual damage will be done, and now you are, oh, listen to this. Now at that point, when you will get out of love, now you're a curse to people instead of a blessing. You're a curse to someone instead of a blessing. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a curse to anyone. Amen? I want to be able to be a blessing to people. Amen? So, here we go. Going to a local church is good for your health. Did you know that?
Yes.
All right. There are many studies that have been done that prove being connected to a loving, a healthy local church is good for your mental health and for your physical health.
Yes.
You just kind of Google it yourself, but it was saying that people, they did studies on it, boosted their immune system. It lowered blood pressure. It, all these things. Just look it up for yourself. But you got to know this. One of the gifts of the Spirit is the gifts of healings. And there's healing in the presence of God. Amen?
Yeah.
And divine healing, by the way, is apart from the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Just apart from that, divine healing. The Word of God's very clear that it's a provision through Jesus Christ, by his shed blood, by his broken body, even apart from the operation of the gifts. Are you getting it? So there's many different streams that of healing to be done in the body of Christ. Amen? So we all have the opportunity to receive that by simple faith in the promises in the Word of God, apart from the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Another benefit of the local church is that you are going to a place and gathering with other like-minded people. Don't lose me here. Listen to this. You got to hear this. So you're gathering with other like-minded people. Like I said before, a local church is primarily made up of Christians. Are you going to have unbelievers come in? Absolutely. But the primary focus of a local church is a gathering of believers, right? This is our little halftime through the week. Woo, that was a rough game. Oh, my goodness. Oh, a little bone out of joint here. Have a lot of scars. Oh, come on in. Let's have a gathering. Let's get fired up. Let's get refocused on what God has you to do. Are you getting it? So you get, listen, I don't know about you, but, you know, we get enough rejection in the world and at your secular jobs and with godless family members. Amen? Listen to this. A local church is or should be a retreat. It should be a sanctuary away from all that junk that we deal with in the week. Amen?
Amen?
Knowing that you are in the company of your spiritual family in Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Listen to me. Nobody should step foot out of a local church not feeling loved and cared for. You should never walk out of a local church feeling that, right? That's why God puts in his word that we all need to be in unity and walk in love toward each other. Amen? There is never a good reason to treat a fellow believer with anything but love and respect. Listen, if we're commanded to love our enemies, what about our brothers and sisters? How much more? Amen? Now, so listen to this. this is crazy. Are you ready for this? I mean, this like never happens, but it's in the Word that I want to share with you. God loves the idea of a local church and saints gathering together so much. He puts so much stock in it, all right? That he puts so much value and stock on it to the point that he says this. Are you ready for this? That a fellow Christian, brothers and sisters of the Lord, should not even take a brother and sister in the Lord to secular court. Oh, I just lost you. Some of you are like, what? Where's he going with this? Now listen to me. It says you shouldn't even take them to secular court. That the members of a local church should help decide what's righteous. Now, sometimes that's not always possible. I get it. I'm not telling you don't go to secular court. I'm just sharing what this says. Can I read something to you? Can I read something to you? Oh, thanks. I think I will. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 8. This is from the Message Bible. Listen to this. Listen how the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul just slaps the people right in the face. Listen to this. And how dare you take each other to court? When you think you have been wronged, does it make any sense to go before a court that knows nothing of God's ways instead of a family of Christians? The day is coming when the world is going to stand before a jury made up of followers of Jesus. If someday you're going to rule on the world's fate, wouldn't it be a good idea to practice on some of those smaller cases? Listen, oh, he just lets them have it with the belt. Listen to this. Why? We're even going to judge angels. So why not these everyday affairs and these disagreements and wrong, as these disagreements and wrongs surface, why would you ever entrust them to the judgment of people you don't even trust in any other way? I say this as bluntly as I can to wake you up to the stupidity of what you're doing. Woo! Calm down, Paul. Listen, is it possible that there isn't one level-headed person among you who can make fair decisions when disagreements and disputes come up? I don't believe it. And here you are taking each other to court before people who don't even believe in God? How can they render justice if they don't even believe in the God of justice? These court cases are a black eye on your community. Wouldn't it be far better just to take it and let yourselves be wronged and forget it? All you're doing is providing fuel for more wrong and more injustice, bringing more hurt to the people of your own spiritual family. Wow. Oh my goodness. Isn't that crazy? Now, like I said, I'm not telling you not to go to court, okay? But what I'm saying is the point of the body of Christ is for us to have more of an influence in each other's lives. Are you getting it? But, you know, how often do you ever see that happen in a local church? Hardly ever, right? Usually, here's why. Usually, getting the church involved in a dispute, a legal suit like that, is avoided because one of the brothers and sisters in the Lord has the wrong motive, and they would hate to expose it to all the other brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? Anyways, I'm meddling now, so let me just take this home, okay? So let's get off of that, make you feel a little better. There should be a sense of comfort. There should be a sense of peace and protection in a local church. Now, so we need to pay better attention to the people that come into our church. Do they look down? Do they look depressed? Or maybe they don't even look like that. Maybe they don't even look like that, but they're putting on a mask to hide those negative emotions. Here's what the Holy Ghost says. Are you in tune enough with me to discern that in the people? Are you willing to show some love and concern for that person? Are you willing to encourage them? Are you willing to pray for them? I'm talking about our family. Amen? Again, nobody should leave a local church feeling ignored and unloved. Amen? Now, I do want to throw this little caveat in here. If they leave here convicted by the Holy Ghost of their sin, then praise God for that. Right? I hope they repent and I hope they change. But on top of that conviction, they need to feel the love from all of you and from me. Amen? So my entire point of this message today was to drive home the point that the local church was and is God's idea. It was His command for us all to get connected, to get committed, and to stay connected, especially in these last days. There are many benefits in every area of our life when there's God-ordained leadership and the Holy Spirit's given access and permission to move. Amen? So here at Living Waters, come on, it's time for all of us to take advantage. Take full advantage of everything the Holy Spirit is doing in our midst. Amen? Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on forward. Hallelujah. Praise God. You don't hear that court thing preached very much from pulpits, but it's in the New Testament. Amen? Just want to give that little plug for that. Now, maybe there's someone in here. You've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Today is the day to do that. Do not leave this place. Maybe today you just stumbled into this place, right? You came, you didn't even want to come. Someone said, you need to come with me, whatever it is. But the Holy Ghost gripped your heart. And today's the day you want to make Jesus Lord of your life. If you want to do that, just come on down and pray with one of our prayer team members. Now, maybe there's someone in here you felt like, maybe you feel like you've disconnected. You feel like you're disconnected from the heart of God, right? And you want to rededicate your life to Him. Maybe today, maybe you had a bad view on the local church. Maybe you viewed it from a fleshly perspective and not God's perspective. If that's you and you want to rededicate and you want to make things right and you want prayer today, come on down and pray with one of the prayer team members. Maybe you're here, you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism. Come on down. Maybe you want to learn more about what praying in tongues is. Come on down. We want to minister to you today. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. We'll stay as long as possible to minister to you. Visitors, thank you so much for coming. I hope you enjoyed it today. And really, though, think about I say when I preach, you're not going to remember everything that was said or every point, but there might be a point, one point, 2 points, or 3 points. Those are the things the Holy Spirit wanted to get a hold of with you today. Amen? Amen. Have a blessed week. I'll shake some heads and hug some hands. Hallelujah.